body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. So I've entitled this morning's message from John chapter 2, What Sign Showest Thou? What sign showest thou? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we go to your word, I pray that the Holy Spirit would take it and apply it to our hearts and change us through it. Lord, it's such a blessing to be a Christian, to know that the resurrection means that we can have eternal life. And as we reflect on that this morning, Lord, may it just renew our commitment to be faithful to you and to serve you and to honor you with our lives. So use the word in our hearts this morning, and may we leave and say it was truly good to be in the house of the Lord. We lift up our Savior and pray this in his wonderful name. Amen. So we see that things haven't changed much in 2,000 years. The world is still looking for signs to prove that Jesus was real, that Jesus existed, that he came back from the dead, and so forth. And so, the devil came up with all of this substitute stuff for Easter to distract people from what it's really about. I mean, I have yet to meet a rabbit that lays eggs. So I don't know where that even came from. It doesn't matter. That's what the world focuses on. But it's about Jesus. And he said, you know, that they came to him here in verse 18 and said, "What sign showest thou?" And so things haven't changed. People are still saying, we want to see something. We want a sign. We want something to prove that Jesus is real. Something to prove that Jesus came back from the dead. And if you look over in John chapter 4, Jesus rebuked them for this attitude. Look at John chapter 4 and verse 48. The Bible says, "Then said Jesus unto them, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." How many people are like that today? Well, God has given us the greatest sign ever. If you go to Matthew chapter 12, and while you're turning there, there is no greater sign than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I mean, we date our calendars by him. His existence is a fact. We don't need to beat that up, but the Roman seal was broken. The tomb was empty. The stone had been moved. The grave clothes were in the tomb. The lives of the disciples were transformed from people hiding in a room to people that were willing to take on the world for God. Something changed after the resurrection. And then 500 people watched him ascend back to heaven, and those 500 people turned the world upside down for Jesus Christ. The resurrection is all of it for us. If you look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 38, Jesus said here, "Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Now, it's a totally separate discussion, but I personally believe Jesus was crucified on Thursday. Everybody wants it to be Friday or Wednesday, but this verse says 3 days and three nights, and I believe God is literal here. And so Jesus had to spend three nights in the heart of the earth, which would be Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday night. It's really pretty simple math if you look at it that way. But people want to say, well, the Jewish day was different, and take pieces of days and try to tack on pieces of days. I believe he was crucified on Thursday, but I'm not going to argue with you about it. But I will say this. This is the sign. That's what he said. He said, "I'll give you a sign, and my sign is this. Jonah spent 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. The Son of Man is going to spend 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And then something's going to change after the 3 days and the three nights." And so the world is looking for signs. They've already been given the sign. And back to our passage in John 2, verse 19, Jesus answered and said unto them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." This is the greatest sign of his power, that he could not be held down by death, that he came back. You know, I mentioned this in the rest homes yesterday. Every other religion of the world can point to their founder and say, yeah, there's their tomb. But the tomb of Jesus Christ is empty. Praise God. Because He came back from the dead. Go over to John chapter 10, where Jesus makes it very clear that He had the power to raise Himself up from the dead. John chapter 10, verse 17, the Bible says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. That I might take it again. In other words, Jesus Himself had the power to bring Himself back from the dead. And this was a declaration of His power. Go to Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, if you would. Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, where we see that Paul, in explaining the power of the resurrection, says that it is also a declaration. Notice Romans chapter 1 verse 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. It was a declaration that Jesus Christ was God and that Jesus Christ had the power to bring Himself back from the dead. That's what Easter's about. That our Savior was God. And that as God, He had the power to die for our sins, but then to come back from the dead, to declare victory over death. And so the Bible, go back to our passage, John chapter 2. The Bible says in verse 21, but He spake of the temple of His body. You know, the Jews tried to get all fancy about it and say there in verse 20, oh, 40 and 6 years was this temple in building. They were referring to the physical temple there at Jerusalem, the rebuilt Solomon's temple. But no, He was talking about His body. And what's interesting to me is that the unsaved understood what He was saying, and the disciples didn't. And if you go back to Matthew 27, verse 63, here in Matthew 27, remember we had the Pharisees trying to get the king to add more soldiers to the watch. And one of the reasons that they gave here in John or Matthew 27, notice verse 62. Now the next day that followed, the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, sir, we remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. These are the unsaved priests and Pharisees coming to Pilate and saying, we remember what he said. He said he would come back from the dead after 3 days. We want more soldiers added to the tomb. The disciples are hiding. Isn't that interesting? They're hiding in a room, cowering, wondering what's next. The unsaved said, we know what he said. He said he'd come back from the dead. And so they remembered, but the disciples didn't remember until later. It says in our passage back in John 2, it says, when therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered. So they didn't remember, they didn't put it together until after the fact, where the Pharisees and the scribes and the chief priests, they put it together prior, based on what Jesus had said. He promised, he claimed that he would come back from the dead. The disciples didn't get it until, as it says in verse 22, when he was risen. Then they remembered. But the resurrection is one of the hinging points of Christianity. If Jesus didn't conquer death, then really Christianity doesn't mean much. Think about it. And Paul said that. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He explained it that way, that if the resurrection is not real, if Jesus Christ didn't really come back from the dead, if what we celebrate at Easter isn't real, then Christianity isn't real. And there's no point. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12. Paul says, now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, Then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. And they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. He says, if our hope in Jesus Christ is only in this life, this physical life in which we live, then we are miserable. Because we know that it's all about the next life. That we're just pilgrims passing through. That we have a home prepared for us in heaven. But none of that's true if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. And that's what Paul is explaining. That it all hinges on that great truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, meaning that He had power over death, meaning that He has the power to give us new life. And back in our passage, verse 22, His disciples remembered that He had said this unto them, and they believed the Scripture and the word which Jesus had said. The resurrection changed them. Now they believed the Scripture. Now they understood. And we know what happened after Pentecost. They went from this little band of guys that were scared to bold preachers for Jesus Christ, and thousands of people got saved. What happened? What changed? Well, the resurrection. That's what changed. And then, of course, they were empowered with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. But it all started right there on Resurrection Sunday. Go to Matthew 28, verse 6. We'll see what the angel had to say to the ladies that came to the tomb. Isn't it interesting that none of the disciples were there first, but ladies were there first? I find it sad. The disciples should have been standing there waiting for Sunday morning. They should have been there Saturday night, camping out like people do for big sales. You know, this is a pretty big event. Jesus claimed He would come back from the dead. They should have been waiting. They weren't. And when the ladies came and reported that Jesus had risen from the dead, they didn't even believe Him. They thought they were making up stories or said, oh, you probably saw a spirit, but it couldn't have been the real Jesus. He's dead. And it wasn't until He came into that room, remember? And Thomas said, I'm not going to believe until I see the prints of the nails in His hand. And Jesus said, behold, Thomas. And Thomas fell down and said, my Lord and my God. But notice here in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 6, what the angel said to the women, He is not here, for He is risen. He is risen. Everything's different. That's the angel of God speaking. And because Jesus Christ conquered death, He conquered it for us as well. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and we'll see this. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10. You know, as I was preaching yesterday from John 11 to the people at the rest homes, where Jesus said, He that liveth and believeth in Me shall never die. And we use that verse a lot at funerals because it's such a comforting truth to know that when we physically die, we just change locations. Hallelujah. You know why? Because Jesus rose from the dead. Because He conquered death. Notice 2 Timothy 1:10. But now is now made manifest by this appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He abolished death. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, I believe around verse 26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. He conquered it. And that's why we can say, hallelujah! I'm going to heaven. I have eternal life. I'm not going to die. I'm just going to change locations. And because He was raised, go to Romans chapter 4, verse 25. Because he was raised, we are now justified through what he did. Notice Romans chapter 4, verse 25. The Bible says, "He who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." We're justified because Jesus Christ was raised again. And then go to 1 Peter 1 and verse 3, if you would. The Bible says that as we reflect on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we not only receive eternal life, but we also receive many other blessings. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to the abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." A lively hope. That's what we get. And then it goes on to say, verse 4, "to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." An inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. All of this, why? Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We need to be telling people, Christ is alive. And you know what? You can't be saved if you don't believe that. That's what the Bible tells us. Go to Romans chapter 10 and I'll show you that. This will be the last passage I think I make you turn to. There's only been like three, right? Romans chapter 10, verse 9 makes it very clear that you cannot be saved unless you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, the Bible tells us here that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must believe in the resurrection to be saved. You must believe who the person of Jesus Christ is, but you must believe that he came back from the dead. And that's why Jesus told the Pharisees on that day, they said, "What sign showest thou?" He said, "I'm going to give you one sign. The sign of the prophet Jonah." That's the only sign. He was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. "I'm going to be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it up again. That's my sign." And now we go and tell people about Jesus Christ. And a lot of them don't want to be saved. But our Savior rose from the dead. Our Savior died for your sins. He offers you eternal life and justification through what He did. I'm not interested. Amazing. We need to tell people. And those disciples, what were they telling people? That the Messiah, the one that we thought was going to give us the kingdom, they crucified Him. But he came back from the dead and spent another 40 days with us and taught us the scriptures. And then we watched him ascend back to heaven. And now we're telling you he came back from the dead and he offers you eternal life through what he did. You just need to repent and trust him and you can be saved. And look, here we are today because someone told us and someone told that person. It's been going on that way for 2,000 years. The sign has been given. The sign is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It all hinges on that, and we're here because of that this morning, but the world out there needs to be told. Jesus rose from the dead. Let's tell them. And some of them will get saved. We did. Praise the Lord. So let's tell them. "What sign showest thou?" they said. He said, "Here is the sign. I'm going to come back from the dead." Could there be a better sign than somebody coming back from the dead? Under their own power? No. And praise God, because of that, we're saved and on our way to glory. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word and for this beautiful truth as we reflect on it.